Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Devanshu. Devanshu is a holistic professional, expert in bodywork, meditation and ancient Tibetan and Taoist practices. Devanshu has studied and learned from many masters, including Osho, Mantak Chia, Dalai Lama and Tulku Lama Lobsang. I'm so happy to have Devanshu on the show and I hope you enjoyed. Devanshu, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I feel very fine and very happy to be here. It's an honor to help spread Osho's light over this planet.
Oh, that's wonderful. Fantastic. So, Devanshu, to start, tell us a little bit about yourself before meeting Osho.
Okay. I was living in a commune in 1974 till 76. An eco-commune, we grew our own vegetables and produce our own candles. That was my job. We had an underground magazine. We were one of the first, consciousness revolutionary communes in Holland. So we were very much in the picture. One day I was working in the fields and somebody said there is a letter in the office with photos from Belle Branche. That was another woman who was in the movement, but she lived in Amsterdam. So I went to the office and I picked up a letter and then two photos fell out. And it was two photos of Osho and his eyes were piercing me and I almost fell on the ground. And that started my journey towards Pune. After high school, I went straight to the commune. I was thinking about studying sociology and psychology, and I did for a few weeks, but it didn't make any sense to me. I wanted spirituality, so I lived in the commune. And after 1 year, this letter arrived, and it was a total revolution. Yeah.
Okay, amazing. So how old were you? I think you were very young. So and
I was 21 at the time.
And when did you take sannyas?
I was 22.
And did you take sannyas directly with Osho?
Yeah, of course. It was January 77. And there were only 400-500 people in Pune in those days. And I arrived by train. I was staying in a Buddhist monastery and I did a Vipassana retreat of 1 month. And a man showed me a book of Osho and it was the first real book that I ever saw. And it turned me so on that I immediately bought a ticket to Pune. And I arrived at 5 a.m. at the railway station and there was nobody there on the streets. And I felt a huge energy, a huge magnetic power pulling me. So I started to walk maybe for more than an hour. And then a rickshaw stopped. And it was an Indian woman in orange clothes with a blanket, it was called. And she winked to me and I stepped in the rickshaw and she dropped me off at the front gate. And it was 7 a.m. And people said, we were waiting for you. And they pushed me out of the shower. I had to pay 10 rupees and half an hour later, I sat in Chuang Tzu Auditorium waiting for Osho to come out and sit in his chair and deliver his discourse. So that was so amazing, so mind-blowing that I immediately wanted to be sannyas. In the very first moment I saw him, it was clear.
Did you take sannyas the first time you actually met Osho in person?
Yeah, it was the first time I took sannyas, yeah. So that morning was the very first time that I saw him, and it was 8 a.m. He came out, he emerged from the door, and I immediately felt his incredible presence, and he walked to his chair, and he namaste'd all of us, and he sat down, and I was completely gone. It took me 5 seconds to realize that he is the master I'm looking for. So after this course, I immediately went to the office and said, I want to become a sannyasin. And they said, great. And they took out a piece of paper and started to fill up my name and my birth of date. And then they said, when did you arrive? I said, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then they started to laugh and they said, oh, it's too early. I said, no, it's not too early. I'm ready. But they said, you have to do dynamic 3 days. So I did dynamic. And the first morning I did dynamic, it was very dark and cold, and there were maybe 100 people. I felt I was something took possession of my body and threw me in the air, and I landed 5 meters away on my feet. And then I became afraid. It was a huge power. And after dynamic, I went to the office again, and I said, I want to be sannyasin. And they said, no, no, you have to do 3 times. So after 3 dynamics, I went to the office. They said, okay, we really know you want to be a sannyasin. So I came on Saturday evening, and I was second, who was called fourth. And I was in a way also afraid, because, yeah, you walk in orange and you have a master, and it's a kind of a death. And when they called my name, I got up and I froze. And Osho looked at me with his piercing eyes, and then he smiled and said, don't be afraid, come here. And I walked to him in a kind of trance, and the whole auditorium disappeared in light, and he disappeared, and I only saw his face and his eyes. And his eyes became very big, and that was the only thing that I saw. There were, everything else disappeared. Then he said, sit down and close your eyes. And I closed my eyes, and I saw my whole life in 10,000 pictures going all the way back till I was a baby, and then I went in the womb. And then everything became black, and I knew he was checking out my former lives. And I was completely gone. I had no feeling, Swaram, whatsoever, who I was, what I was. It was all gone. And I heard his voice saying, open your eyes. And then he put a mala around my neck and started to talk to me and bless me. And when he said, do you have any question? I could not even speak. And they had to lift me up and bring me back to my place to sit down. And it was the most amazing experience of transformation that changed my whole life. And yeah, since then, Osho has always been in my heart and in my being. And it will never go away.
Wow, this is so beautiful. And thanks for sharing this with us. And I'm touched, and also it resonates with me, because I had a similar experience when I took sannyas. That was January 2000. Of course, Osho was no more in the body. But I remember clearly when I was called for my taking the name and the mala, I closed my eyes and I had all my life going through images. I had the same experience all my life. Images very fast, very fast, very fast. And then, yeah, I just started crying, and then I don't remember anything. And then at the end, there were all sannyasins around, throwing flowers, showering love, and hugging me. And so that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing. So
yeah.
After you,
it doesn't matter in the body or out of the body. Or when you say yes to him, he just enters you. Yeah, the connection is made.
Beautiful. So after you took sannyas, how long did you live in Pune?
3 months. And then I got very sick. I got typhoid. And these 3 months were the most transformational months of my life. I went from one group to another. I did many groups. And after every group, you have private darshan with Osho, so you can sit in front of him and ask him a question. Those 3 months were like living in Lotus Paradise, so to say. And then I got sick. I got typhoid and I was in hospital and I thought I was going to die. But I didn't die. I came out. But I was too weak to participate in the ashram, so I left. And then I came back in 79 and then I stayed 6 months.
Okay, beautiful. So let's jump to today's and the work you do. So I understand you have trained and learned from many different masters, and some of the work you do is Tibetan Pulsing, is one of the workshops you offer. And Osho has some very strong links with Tibet. I read a book where Osho himself told the story of a Tibetan Lama who recognized Osho as the reincarnation of a Tibetan master who lived 700 years before and whose body is apparently preserved among the bodies of other highly evolved masters in Tibet. So this is all a bit esoteric, but can you tell us anything in relation to the link between Osho and Tibet?
Yeah, so in those 3 months when I stayed in 77 in Pune, Osho mentioned that in his last life, he was a Tibetan master 700 years ago, and that he ordered one, and he went on a fast, and at the end of the fast, he ordered one of his disciples to poison him. He said, because when I die like that, I can come back in another human body. Otherwise, I will be fully enlightened and I cannot come back. So out of compassion, I want to come back for humanity. And yeah, that story always made a big impact on me. And in one of his discourses, he talked about Atisha, a Buddhist master, and it was called the Book of Wisdom. And when he talked about this, at one point, he looked at me and my girlfriend. He looked in our direction, so we had a feeling he looked at us, and like everybody has that feeling always. And yeah, that made the connection to the Tibetan lineage. That was the first time actually that I felt from him that connection. And Osho very much wants ancient meditation methods to come out of all orthodoxies and to be practiced in a modern way. So that's what I'm trying to do with my work also. I go to many lamas and learn the methods, but I don't present them in a Buddhist way. I present them in an Osho way. And this is a very, very beautiful thing to do, but also difficult, of course.
That's great. Yeah. And yes, I mean, that's one of the contribution of Osho's to human consciousness, is that he revived so many ancient traditions that were kind of lost just because those ancient masters spoke a language that it's no more understandable by us living in 2000. And Osho had the intelligence and wisdom to take that information, digest it, and make it available for us. And that's how, you know, so many people can learn from Osho and connect also to those traditions. So it's beautiful that you are carrying on that work.
Yeah. One detail is, like, dynamic meditation actually is a Tibetan meditation. Just a few years ago, I read in an ancient Tibetan manual that a yogi who feels not good emotionally in his house, he should go to a faraway place in the forest and do very deep, chaotic breathing for a certain period, and then throw all his clothes out and be naked and start to jump around and scream and beat the earth. Now, these are the first two stages of dynamic meditation, and this is a Tibetan purification method.
Oh, this is so interesting. I never heard anything like this before. And it confirms the strong link between Osho and Tibet. And in fact, it's a known fact that Dalai Lama himself acknowledged Osho as an enlightened master, whereas Osho is taking a little bit of a piece out of Dalai Lama, saying that he has a lot to do. But
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, you see, I lived 15 years in India, and I traveled a lot around on motorcycle and by train, visiting many holy places, power places. And you can really see when you live in an ashram, or I lived in monasteries also for short periods, that the energy is wonderful and the meditation techniques are wonderful, but the whole foundation, their whole style of living is so outdated. You know, monks and nuns and celibate people in an ashram, and the whole religious thing, it simply is not suiting this humanity anymore. It's old and it has to go. But the meditation methods we can keep because they are pure gold. But Osho devised his own methods because he wanted to make a completely new beginning, a total revolutionary start, without even saying like these methods are Tibetan or these methods are from India or they are from this master. He didn't even want to mention it. He wanted to start completely fresh, completely new. And I think that is his dynamic attraction to people, that they don't know what to expect. So the mind is completely open. You don't know what's going to happen. It's not belonging to any tradition. And that's why the meditations go so deep.
Nowadays, everyone is a bit tired with the old religions, ancient traditions, you know, the society is becoming more and more secular. And that's exactly what Osho was doing, you know, breaking the links of the old traditions, but bringing something new. But still, you can go into a meditative state, you know, like you can develop your consciousness, but without being linked to dead books and old traditions.
Yeah. Well, the greatest contribution of Osho is that he adds celebration to meditation. When I go to, I live around the corner down the mountain, there is the biggest Buddhist stupa of all Europe. It's 33 meters high, and very often there are lamas coming, giving teachings. And I went quite a few times, but now I stopped going because it's always the same crowd, and I always see these serious faces, you know. And with Osho, there's always celebration and happiness, bliss, and that's what makes him so unique. And when I look at the faces of many people, whether it's in India or in Spain or anywhere, there is a certain kind of boredom on their faces. They try to be holy and very meditative. But what the most thing that they need is simply joy and celebration. And that is the greatest contribution I think Osho gave to the world. I always say Gautama the Buddha gave us the sitting Buddha, Zen gave us the laughing Buddha, and Osho gave us the dancing Buddha.
And that's very beautiful image. Wonderful. And yeah, thanks for bringing this up, because I live in Singapore now, and I have to say, I didn't expect that, you know. Compared to London, there is more smiling people, but still, you know, it's especially in the working place, people are serious, you know, it's a kind of a disease. I don't know what it's
about. Yeah, it is a disease. Yeah, it is a disease. And when I work in several places in the world. I know that I've been successful when a person leaves the room with a smile on their face. Then I know I've touched them deeply. It has all to do with self-acceptance and self-love, what Osho always emphasizes. Accept yourself as you are. Love yourself as you are. And no matter how much, whatever your problem is or how much misery you feel, accept yourself as you are. And I think that is the biggest opener there is. And like all the ancient paths, they always have a kind of a role model how you should be, how holy or how meditative or how much purification you have to do. And then I work here for some local yoga centers also, and everybody wants to be perfect in their practice, and yeah, it's never good enough. So you see all their faces with these smiles, but underneath they feel, I feel, and you can really see, they don't really accept themselves. And with Osho, it is like you accept yourself from the very first beginning, and that is a deep relaxation that happens, and that makes the meditation go so deep. And after the meditation, there is always this joy, this bliss. And when I go to India, to Goa or Pune, and I see Osho's people, it's, yeah, that's the difference between Osho sannyasins and all the other so-called spiritual people. They're always happy or smiling, or there is a kind of joy emanating from them. Yeah.
And a bit of craziness, which I
and
love.
A bit of craziness and playfulness. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so to stay...
Osho always said, I love crazy people.
Well, because he's a crazy master, so to be with Osho, you have to be a bit crazy.
If you're too normal or too serious, you know, don't come here. I mean, yeah, he always said, I love crazy people. And I know quite prominent people who want to come to Pune Ashram, and on the last moment they became afraid and stepped back and left Pune, and they didn't enter the ashram. They were afraid to lose their self-image or their, yeah.
Afraid to lose their seriousness behind.
Yeah, afraid to lose the seriousness, yeah.
Okay, Devanshu, so to stay in Tibet, I understand you also teach the secret fire energy of Tummo, which is part of the Tibetan medicine knowledge. I'm not sure if you are aware about Wim Hof, whose nickname is the Iceman.
Yes.
And is there are lots of recent studies proving the health benefits of cold exposure. And Chetan and myself have met Wim Hof, and we've done the training with him, and we keep doing this cold bath with ice. Even here in Singapore, 3 times a week, we get the ice at home and we do ice.
You've done his training?
Yes. Well, not the training to teach, but we went to Poland for a week and we've done the training with him. We did all the breathing exercises, all the jumping into cold rivers with minus temperatures, and we walk 5 hours up a mountain in minus 13 without t-shirts and stuff like that. So all the crazy stuff we've done with him. So I was curious to hear from you, because it's a known fact that Tibetan monks have practiced cold exposure for many years. There are stories that they go and they can dry clothes on the skin in freezing temperature. So do you know anything about that? And can you talk a little bit about Tummo's relation to cold exposure?
Yes. When I was 20, even before sannyas, I had a Vipassana teacher, and we would swim in the winter. And at age 20, I would even break the ice to jump in the ice-cold water. And I've been swimming in Norway also in glacial water and in the Himalayas in lakes on 4,000 meter high with freezing temperatures. And I've done these things a lot when I was younger, and they made me really strong, the Wim Hof method. But the Tibetan Tummo practice is more subtle, is much more inner, because they say the inner fire is actually the power of the hara, what Osho talked a lot about in his Zen discourses. And inner fire can be used, as Wim Hof does, to expose yourself to cold temperature, but that's not the reason why monks practice Tummo. It's just to show that their Tummo is successful. The real reason why they ignite the inner fire and spread the inner fire all over the body is that it accelerates Kundalini awakening. And Tummo is the most powerful practice for Kundalini awakening and for enlightenment. And that's why they are doing it. And that it is that you can be exposed to very cold temperatures is an extra bonus, but that's not why they're doing it. And this inner fire I learned from a lama called Tulku Lobsang in the Himalayas. He's now a lot in Europe. I learned from him the 6 yogas of Naropa and Tibetan yoga, Salung, hand healing practice. And he taught me a hand healing practice with which you use the Tummo. And this is now one of my main healing practices. I'm quite successful in it, and I want to bring this to the public. But the difference between the Tummo practice of the Tibetans and Wim Hof purely remains in my opinion, though I'm very interested in his practices, and I do also his breathing practices quite regularly, and I take every day cold showers, and I still swim in the sea in the winter. But it's very physical oriented. The real Dumo is a spiritual practice to enlighten the mind. Osho, especially with his dynamic meditation and also with all the other methods, he pushes you over the limit. He pushes you over the border of what you normally think you can do. Like you go further than you ever went. And that releases what is known as the second wind, or an extra surplus of energy. And once you are in that surplus of energy, you have unlimited energy. Like you plug in into a cosmic energy field that enters you, and you can do amazing things. And this is, for instance, what top athletes experience. Yeah.
Wow, this is so amazing, because through Dynamic for the first time, I discovered that my limits can be pushed much more. And in fact, there are no limits. During the jumping, especially, I experienced this enormous awakening of energy that goes all over the body and beyond. And that's the incredible power of this technique, dynamic meditation, that I don't think many people really appreciate, because you have to do it. You know, some people do it once and experience it straight away, but many other people, they just do it maybe a week or 3 days and then they think, okay, that's it. But Dynamic can give you, as you say, that experience that you can go beyond your limits. You can access the cosmic energy, which is within and without. I mean, you can get enlightened through dynamic meditation if you follow the instruction, if you do it, and if you trust Osho.
Yeah.
So that's really beautiful, and thanks for sharing that. Now, the next part I wanted to discuss with you is also something that personally I'm very interested in, and it's Mantak Chia and the Universal Tao Healing. Because I understand that you also train with Mantak Chia, and I have deep respect for Mantak Chia, and I'm fascinated by his teachings, and I recently visited his place in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Normally, we hear about sexual energy in the context of Tantra. What would you say is the difference between the Tao approach and the Tantra approach in the context of sexual energy?
Very good question. I've researched this myself, and you can read in Osho's Tao books. There are pages in which he explains this. The difference between the Tao and the Tantra approach is that Tao is completely spontaneity. They train the body with Qigong and inner alchemy and sexual alchemy. I actually teach this also in my workshops. And they build it up very much, the body, the breathing exercises. But there is no religion, you see. It's a pure meditative process, while in Tantra it's very much connected to the gods Shiva and Shakti, or in Tibetan Tantra with the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. It becomes a very religious training and experience. They have many mantras and rituals and ceremonies. Osho said it's very procedural. Tantra is a very long path. The Tao doesn't do that. They go straight away in the practice, and it's pure let go and spontaneity. And in my opinion, the Tao practices are very suitable for modern men. When I came to Mantak Chia the first time, we were a few days early, and we walked up to his restaurant. It was on an island in a lake. And he was sitting there, and I walked in with Nilama, my wife, and he walked over a wooden bridge, and he saw us, and immediately he got up and came to us and welcomed us. And we immediately felt the connection with him. And in one of his first talks during the training, he talked about how the whole universe is electricity. I put my hand up. I said, that's what my master is teaching. He said, see me after the discourse. And I went up to him and I talked about Tibetan pulsing. And then he wanted sessions. So I gave him sessions in Tibetan pulsing. And that's where the deep connection with him started. And we became instructors in his healing system. And the sexual alchemy of the Taoists are very practical methods, very good for healing the body, healing your relationship, and going into deep sexual practices. The Tantra practices are also very deep. I can't say one is better than the other, but the attitude, the entry is different. Tao, also the way Mantak Chia teaches, is also quite technical. While in Tantra, especially how Osho group leaders offer Tantra, is often very emotional, and people cry and hug. And Tao, in the Tao practice, that you don't see that. It's less emotional, it's more technical, but also it's the sexual practices. You don't practice like in a group that they do in Tantra. In the Tao, they teach you and then you practice in your own room. Yeah, it's more private. Yeah, so to say.
Okay, well, wonderful. And thanks for clarifying that. And yeah, I mean, obviously, both are beautiful paths and we are all different.
Yeah, if you ever go to Tao Garden, Mantak Chia's place, do a dark room retreat. This was for me one of the most mind-blowing experiences I had in my life. It was beyond any expectations. You're 7 days in absolute darkness while you're doing inner alchemy practices in the group form. You can do 1, 2, or 3 weeks. It's absolutely dark and your whole unconsciousness is turned out inside out. Like you start to see what you think, you start to see your unconscious patterns, structures. And for me, it was like I went beyond them. And when I came out, I was in such absolute bliss. It's indescribable. And that showed me that Mantak Chia's Tao practices are invaluable, absolutely invaluable. Yeah. And I hope that sannyasins, Osho's people, will have access to them. Because they really fit in Osho's work.
Beautiful. And it's interesting you're saying that, because believe it or not, I was planning to do the dark room retreat next January, I think, or February, the next date available. I just missed it for this year.
This is such a mind blow. You have no idea what's happening. Like they have a special diet. You eat very little, but they give food that stimulates the pineal gland. So you can see in the darkness. And this seeing in the darkness it's like opening your third eye. It's so incredible. It's like I was laying on bed, like with tears in my eyes.
Wow, beautiful. I look forward to that. Amazing. Okay, so now we are heading towards the end of the episode. And before I ask you last three questions, I wanted just to ask you one last thing about Osho. So you have studied with many masters and have learned from many different spiritual traditions. So what is the most significant thing you learned from Osho that is helping you in the work you do today?
Yeah, meeting him, of course, sitting in front of him is the strongest, deepest experience you can ever have. And what I learned from is be empty. Let go of your mind, of any preconceived concepts. Just be yourself and let go. And the light will awaken in you. It will show you your true nature. And just being. And that is what I learned from Osho. On the other hand, Osho also emphasized very much total effort. You have to be 100% in your effort and then relax and let go. So that is what for me. And then after that, celebration. Yeah. Because the bliss that is felt has to be expressed. And that is Osho's greatest contribution, I feel. What you experience in meditation, that you share that with others. You don't keep it for yourself. You express it either to painting or dancing or in your work or how you communicate with people. And that, I feel, is what distinguishes Osho from everybody else. Why I went also to many masters is also like, I went mostly to, like when I had difficult times, I started to pray to Osho and meditate on his photo, and I asked him what I have to do. And from the depth of my being, I asked him, please show me my path. And then very soon something comes up, a Tibetan Lama or a Tao teaching, and I learned something new. And I feel Osho sends me to all these other masters to learn the ancient methods, the wonderful, precious methods, and share them without being a Buddhist or a Taoist or a Hindu, but remaining an Osho Sannyasin, learning all these methods and share them.
Well, I really honor what you're doing, because too often, you know, I must say that I see sannyasins that have been with Osho and they do the opposite. They go to other masters and then they forget all about Osho and they start teachings. They take actually the teachings from Osho, but then they present it as if something else or is their own. So I don't know. I don't want to, you know, everyone is free to do whatever they want, but I personally totally appreciate people like you. And, you know, I love you this and I honor you.
Yeah, but that means they are cowards and that they didn't accept themselves. Because when I sit in front of Mantak Chia or of the Dalai Lama or of Lama Lop or whoever it is, and I meditate very deeply with them and I see the light coming from them, I always feel in the energy field Osho. I feel he's looking at me, he's present. And even though when I forget about him for a while and I'm immersed in a Tao or in a Tibetan practice, at one point he always comes and he is just there as a light being, looking or just being present. I always feel that, always. I can do whatever I want. It's just happening, you see, and because he's my master. And a few times I went to very high Tibetan initiations and also once in a Hindu ashram, and the guru looks at me and he says, you already have a master. Why do you come here? And I didn't tell him anything about who I was, that I was a sannyasin. He said, you already have a master. He's right behind you. Why do you want initiation? And this happened quite a few times. And then I always say, yeah, but I also want to learn what you do. He said, okay. And then I get the initiation anyway. And then they have always a big smile on their face. And I feel... also, the traditional religious people, they slowly start to accept Osho as a really, really great master. They can't deny it. Like, his presence is so strong that they can't go around him. So I feel Osho's teaching and presence will continue at least for a few more hundred years.
Wonderful. I mean, this is amazing. And really, I really thank you for bringing this up, for sharing this. And I really hope people listening to this podcast, they will get inspired and they will just really go back to the source and connect with Osho, because that's all you need to do. You know, there's no point of going around trying to find something new and better. You know, Osho is an oceanic source and you just need to plug in. And it's all there, available.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. My heart is singing now. I've got three final questions for you before we finish. And the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
When I get up, I have a cold bath, cold shower, and a chai, a cup of tea. And mostly I do morning qigong, Mantak Chia's morning exercises. Qigong and Iron Church qigong and some Tai Chi. Otherwise, I do Tibetan yoga. It's either one of the two, either morning qigong or Tibetan yoga called Lujong and Tsalum. That is my morning meditation, my morning medicine, so to say, because I'm 64 years old. And if I don't practice, I really feel I'm 64 years old. And even if I sleep not good or too short, I go out here in the garden and do 1 hour qigong, and I feel so energized, like I'm 20, 30 years younger. And I also teach down here in the local golf club. When people turn up, I teach morning qigong. But people here are so lazy, like even 10 o'clock, they can't make it very often. So I do qigong, and then after that I do vipassana meditation. I sit in silence, and then mostly my first client comes for eye reading or Tibetan pulsing or for a healing session. Or I have to go to a yoga club to do sessions. Yeah.
Okay, amazing. You're very disciplined, and that's great. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
That's a difficult one, because I love all meditations. From Osho, I like the most Kundalini and Guru Shankar, the one with the blue light. And I love the Tao Qigong practice very much. Iron Shirt Qigong and the Tibetan Mahamudra meditation. Six Yogas of Naropa and the Dumo, the Inner Fire. Those are my favorite practices.
So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. So you were with Osho at a very young age and you lived in the commune.
Yes.
What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
Yeah, that's a very deep question. No matter what I do, where I go, or how much doubt is there, Osho is always present. I never forget that he told in a discourse, and I was sitting there, when your heart beats with mine, I will be with you until your enlightenment. And that's what I experience every day. So even if I want to get rid of Osho, I can't get rid of Osho. I tried a few times, but it's not possible. He is at the very basis of my being. And though the first time I met him is more than 40 years ago, he is very, very present in my life, and my heart beats with him. And when I meet people around me, the sannyas climate, the sannyas flavor is always there.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. And I think I've heard Osho jokingly, I don't think he was joking, saying to a sannyasin, you know, once my seed enters you, I will keep haunting you, even if you want to forget about me.
Yeah, it's true. He's haunting you also. Yeah.
Okay, Devanshu. So thank you so much. That's the end of the show. You shared so many interesting facts. Also, I mean, on a personal level, I'm fascinated by some of the work you are doing, and I would really love to meet in person. If you travel in Asia, please do come. Singapore, you can stay with us here. And I want to learn from you, the Tummo, and we can do some cold bath together. And then, well, thank you so much for sharing your light and your love for Osho.
Yeah, I have much more to tell. Many things I didn't mention, but another time.
Yeah, we can do it another time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Devanshu.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be with you here. And I really hope that your podcast will reach to many, many people, and that when they listen to the sannyasins talking about the personal experience, that it will help to spread meditation in the world.
That's a wonderful wish. Thank you so much, and lots of love.
Lots of love to you and to Chetna, and hope to see you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.